Aids to Devotion by Andrew Murray. Chapter 10. The Spirit of Power. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 17. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on the earth is named. I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Footnote 1. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In speaking of his conversion, Paul says, "It was the good pleasure of God to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." In our passage, he tells us that this, his own experience, was the very sum and substance of his gospel. When he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, he preached him as dwelling in the heart. He would have none of his readers be without it. Without ceasing, he pleaded with God to strengthen them with might in their whole inner life, so that nothing might keep them from this wonderful blessing. In a sermon on Christ in the heart, Dr. McLaren has said that it is as if the church had lost the thought of Christ's indwelling being an experience that Christians ought to seek. And yet, how entirely Paul's teaching is in harmony with that of our blessed Lord. In the last night, when he had spoken of the gift of the Holy Spirit, he said, "You will know at that time that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Then he goes on to add, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up residence with him." And then, at the close of the high priestly prayer, he asks, "That the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them." Is it not evident that our Lord speaks here of something far beyond the initial grace of pardon and regeneration? He speaks of what would be given to those who love him and keep his commandments, of something that would be the special gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling and working in them. Even so, in speaking of his prayer, that God would, according to the riches of his glory, do something special and mightily strengthen their inner man, and then in his doxology, giving glory to God as able to do something far above what we could ever ask or think, Paul would have us feel that the blessing he holds out to us is that in which the spiritual life culminates as the highest exhibition of what the mighty power of God can work in us. Christ dwelling in the heart. Let us begin where Paul begins. I bow my knees, and in urgent prayer for ourselves and for God's children around us, plead with God to do something according to the riches of his glory, which will lift us out of our feebleness and bring us into the life that will be to the praise of his glory. End of footnote 1. Here we have, in this wonderful prayer, once again the Blessed Trinity, the Father granting the Spirit of power, the Spirit revealing Christ in the heart, so that through Christ and the Spirit we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. As God dwells in heaven as the three in one, even so in our hearts. In the prayer at the close of chapter 1, we have the Spirit of wisdom, so that we might know God in the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Here we have the prayer for the Spirit of power to strengthen us with might. The exceeding greatness of God's power is to be the permanent experience in our inner life. Let us bow with deep reverence as we gaze upon this mystery of love. Note first the expression, that according to the wealth of his glory he may grant you. Paul wants us to take time and think of the glory and of its inconceivable riches, and then in faith to expect that God will do nothing less to us than according to the riches of that glory. What is to be done in our inner man is to be in very deed the glory of God shining into our heart and manifesting the riches of his power in what he does there within us. Again I say, our faith dare not expect the fulfilment of the prayer until it enters into and claims to the full that God will do in us according to the riches of his glory. Let us take time and see that nothing less than this is to be the measure of our faith. Footnote 2. The connection between being strengthened by the Spirit and having Christ in the heart is brought out with great beauty in a sketch of the life of Miss E. Duncan, to be found in Chapter 15 of her volume on The Christ Life, by the Reverend J. B. Figgis. In a letter giving an account of her experience, she writes, "I must write you to help me to magnify the Lord. He has been coming into my soul this past week as never before, and I am feeling most blessedly possessed with him. For months, the cry of my heart has been to be filled, and every week the longing grew more intense. Not for joy, it was himself, that is what I wanted. I had been longing and praying for this fullness of the Spirit, and yet I did ask the Lord to keep me waiting for a thorough preparation. He kept me waiting for months, but all that time I was waiting on the Lord and crying after the blessing with tears. I'm sure that is the right thing to do when he keeps us waiting. On Sunday evening last, he came and has taken full possession. I do not know how to express my experience, for I seem to have lost all sense of experience in the sublime reality of his continual presence. When I could say I wanted neither happiness nor usefulness, but Jesus only, then the beloved bridegroom came back, and I am perfectly satisfied with him. I have God, and I want no more. Self has been subdued by the King, reigning triumphantly. I see I have been erring, and fancying I had a stock of grace within, instead of not only realizing that I am nothing, but also that I have nothing, that Jesus has it all for me." In letters to friends, she speaks of experiencing to the very depths the truths concerning the fullness of the Spirit. To one she writes, "Tell her not to rest until she is filled with the Spirit." To another, "Trust fully, follow fully, keep on trusting for the fullness of the blessing." To her fellow teachers, "May I give you a parting message? A very great author says, be filled with the Spirit. Are you? Do you realize the tremendous blessing that will come to you, from you, if you are?" In spite of the promise that the living water shall be in us, springing up perpetually, many doubt the maintenance of such a life. But he who gave can keep. "One cannot live upon the mountain tops," a minister said to her. "I have lived upon them for months," she said. "And those were months of suffering, even to agony." It would be easy to multiply expressions of her absolute trust in God, and easy in uttering them to everyone thus upon the hilltop. But are we willing to climb? She was never weary of urging all she loved to seek to be filled with the Spirit, assured that his blessings were for them as much as for her. To one friend she sent the message, "God can satisfy her fully every moment. He satisfied me for months with himself only." To another, "My earnest desire is that she may be filled with the Spirit, and then she will know what it is to be shut up to Christ." Elsewhere she says, "I used to pray, Lord, make me holy at all costs, with agony of body or mind, if nothing else will do. And God took me at my word. I cannot tell you what joy it gives me that I consecrated all fully to the Lord. Tell every Christian it is worthwhile." All this happiness was not for herself. As the working time grew shorter, God let her have a glimpse of his view of the lost, some share of sympathy with Jesus about them. When cut off from pleading with others, she would plead for them. Plead all night if she had strength, and always with such certainty of being answered. Someone had suggested that you might expect some special blessing after special suffering. I said, "May I, Lord?" And the answer came, "Yes, my child." Then, "Oh, give me the spirit of intercession." And it came so strong at once. Perhaps the difference between the state of fullness of blessing and that which preceded may be demonstrated most by an extract in which she says, "My besetting sin was pride. I know it was, and though I prayed to God for deliverance over and over again, I never got mastery over it until I received the fullness of the Spirit. I did like praise, and you know I had plenty.